everybody, it's me, Kathleen Madigan. Welcome to Madigan's Pubcast. You grab yourself a drink, pull up a bar stool, let's talk about what's been going on. Termites! The pub is open! Episode 29. Isn't that crazy? 29 weeks. Here's what's even crazier. Looky here. My friend Heidi made me my own saint candle. I don't really know that I merit sainthood yet. Well, first you have to wait till you're dead, if you know that process. It's a long one. Then there's beatification. And then, yeah, there's a lot of steps involved. But you know what? You can get your own candle made of your own self. Just so you don't think I'm a narcissist, I did not do that. My friend Heidi did that. That would be super fucking weird if I did that all on my own for myself. We still have Colton Wong underneath my silver cloth cleaner. Fred Bird's under there. And we're honoring Colton Wong's memory. That is not coming off till spring training. That's how much I loved Colton Wong. Congratulations, Milwaukee. I think you're going to love him. Well, I know you will. Two-time Golden Glove, but we just somehow couldn't afford it. But we kept some people I'm not going to name individually. Harrison Bader. That maybe I would not have done. Just saying, I don't own a team. I got nothing to say about it. But as a fan, I would have found the money, even if I had to go steal shit. Why don't the Cardinals put some money in Bitcoin? Maybe then you can afford Colton Wong. Oh, decisions, decisions. What are we drinking? That's super important. This is one of my favorite places to drink in the Midwest, up on Mount Adams in Cincinnati. Have you ever been there? Super cool. There's some super old pubs up there. And this is a Rheingeist Cincinnati made Cheetah Lager. It's delicious. Trust Cincinnati with beer as much as I trust St. Louis. Why? Huge German populations in the beginning that ended up putting all those breweries. Why? Because there's rivers. And what do you need? Water to make the beer. I trust the Germans with any beer and technology. So that's what we're drinking. And I'm going to start off with the food part. Then we're going to get into Dolly and Friends. I've never tried these, but I thought I'm trying to help you guys sort out the good gas station, good junk food from the bad. What did we learn last week? The Twinkies stuff with candy, cotton candy are disgusting. Now, these are, I love a Cheez-It. I know they're fattening, but it's nice to have a box in the house, isn't it? Just for emergencies?
If you're five.
Not if you're five. How many adults out there are with me on the Cheez-Its? Come on now. And if you have kids, oh, you act like you buy them for the kids, but secretly you're like, yeah, maybe I'll have a couple. This is a hot and spicy Cheez-It. I have not tried it yet. No. No. They ruined the Cheez-It. It's not hot. It's not, well, it's a little hot. No, that's just gross. What a waste. I don't even know what I paid. Wow. And they're good till 2031. Huh.
Do they pair well with
I don't
beer?
Know about that. No, November 30th, 21. Oh my God. Yeah, that's terrible. These I just thought were fun. If you guys are maybe for Easter, Hershey Kisses has made their normal. I already ate one. They're normal Hershey Kisses, but they're in a tie-dye wrapper. Super cool. Super fun and super cool for Easter because it's got a lot of the Easter colors in it, but even not for Easter, just for fun. Also, I put a video up on Instagram and trying to find the best fast food. Well, I'm doing my ranch search, but I still hold White Castle's fish sandwich as number one. But somebody said, we tried the Popeyes one. I did not love it, sadly. I'll stick with their chicken, but their fish, the Cajun flounder, went way off the trail. Somebody said Burger King. So being bored and not working, this unemployed lady has time. So I went to Burger King, and I got the fish sandwich. And you know what? No. No. It was better than Popeyes. But would I buy it again? No. Was it? It was okay. Yes, better than Popeyes. Is it as good as White Castle? Not even close. Not even close. Mm-mm.
All chicken sandwiches are better. Anyway.
No, No, not at White Castle. Their fish sandwich, I would trade it for one of their cheeseburgers, and I love their cheeseburgers.
Really?
Yeah. Did you know you can get White Castle in little suitcases? They're adorable. It's a briefcase full of White Castle. I'd never seen it till my sister's bachelorette party, and then I knew they were super drunk when one of them came out. I was like, look what I got! And she's carrying like seven briefcases full of White Castle.
It's a
like,
Crave case.
It's a Crave case? Is that what they're called? Mm-hmm. Mm. Good for them. Our candles are lit. All right, let's start with the update. Do any of you follow Tanya Tucker on Instagram? Do you? Well, you should, because right now she's in Texas with a brownie pan, that's what I'll call it, outside. She'll be okay, so this is why it's funny. Taking snow, filling a glass brownie pan, it looks like, or a plastic thing, and she's melting snow because their water's not working in Texas, and I know that part's not funny because my cousins are down there too, and their pipes are broke. It's a mess. Just follow Tanya on Instagram. She has a tour bus that's parked on her property looking at her house that she can't go in, but the tour bus apparently has a generator and is keeping her warm. Just a little inside look at Tanya's Texas life. Just recommending her Instagram account. Let's move on to Queen Dolly, the queen of all queens. She did it again. Just when you think she can't trump shit, she did it. They offered her, without asking her, this is part of what's wrong with politics and politicians too. If you're going to start, you know, a thing, you should probably check with the person that's involved with the thing to see if they'd like to be involved in the thing. But they didn't. Dolly Parton has turned down yet another accolade offered to her, this time from her home state of Tennessee. In a statement, Parton said she asked lawmakers not to consider a bill. So somebody is written the bill or is planning on has told the bill is written that would allow a statue of her to be built on the grounds of the state capitol. This comes just weeks after the country superstar revealed what we all learned, that she turned down the Presidential Medal of Freedom twice. All right, I'm going to read it. This is my Dolly Parton impression. I want to thank the Tennessee legislature for their consideration of a bill to erect a statue of me on Capitol grounds. Parton's statement shared on her social media page reads, I'm honored and humbled by their intention, but I've asked the leaders of the state legislature to remove the bill from any and all consideration. The bill, introduced by State Representative John Mark Wendell, was passed by a state house committee on February 9th. So they passed it through a state. Talk about wasting time. Call Dolly and see if she even wants it. However, if Dolly Parton has her way, it won't go any further. Given all that's going on in the world, I don't think putting me on a pedestal is appropriate at this time, her statement continued. I hope, though, that if somewhere down the road, several years from now, or perhaps after I'm gone, don't even talk like that, lady. If you feel I still deserve it, then I'm certain I will stand proud in our great state capital as a grateful Tennessean. The bill's introduction comes after an online petition was created last year to urge the Tennessee House, State House, to replace Confederate statues in the state with statues of Parton. Aside from her beautiful music, which has touched the hearts and lives of millions, Dolly Parton's philanthropic heart has unquestionably changed the world for better, the petition reads. Yeah, we know about Dolly because we cover Dolly on this podcast a lot. Now, I feel two ways about this. I get what she's saying. It would be weird in the middle of only 10% of people have been vaccinated and all that crap. And maybe you shouldn't be having like a party, you know, while things are kind of still super strange. But on the other hand, maybe we need a little fun, you know, maybe a Dolly statue, maybe there'd be a party.
Yeah.
Maybe Dolly could go down there and do a little impromptu concert. But I still think it's the right decision for now. Wait till shit's normal. But then again, I don't know. Be something to watch. We'll talk about what we're watching later. Also, speaking of Dolly, if you guys care, I've never seen this show. I don't even know the name. Gracie and Frankie. You guys know that show? It is Lily Tomlin, who I've met and is a ton of fun, and Jane Fonda, who I've never met. I don't know anything about Jane, and I'm not old enough to hate Jane. Like, I don't know. I know kind of what she did when she was it Vietnam or Korea? Vietnam. Vietnam. She was, oh, Hanoi Jane. Yeah. Like, you, if you even say her name to people like my parents' age, they're like, oh my God. I don't, I mean, I kind of have that information, but I also don't really care enough. I mean, she's, I think she's like 80. I don't know. But anyway, Dolly Parton has confirmed she and former co-stars Jane Fonda and Lily Tomlin will reunite on screen in an episode of Gracie and Frankie. I believe my friend Amy Aquino is on that show, or sometimes, or was. Yeah, she's also the lady on Bosch. I don't know any famous actors because I only know comedians. If you count comedians as actors when they're in a movie, not counting that. Because my nephew's always like, do you really know Kevin Hart? Yes, I do. And I really didn't think it was that big of a deal, but apparently he could give a shit that I'm on TV. Well, not nearly as much as Kevin, but like, just in my own house, you're just going to diss me like that? I mean, I know you're funny, but do you know Kevin Hart? Tiffany Ranch. Tiffany Ranch. No, but Kevin Hart probably has a lot of ranch. Why don't you go to Kevin Hart's house? Ask him if he has any ranch. You can yell it like he does in the commercials. So she's going to be, she said she's been trying to do Grace and Frankie for years. We work so well in 9 to 5 and it's a crazy, wonderful show. Well, now I'm going to have to watch it. Oh my God. Jane's 83. Lily's 81. I got to say, I met Lily Tomlin and I never get to meet people that like she's famous. I never run into those people. Like, I don't know. I'm, you know, running around with Carrot Top. I mean, are we?
I love him.
I know. It's Paddle's favorite comedian on the whole planet because it's visual. A lot of it's visual and a lot of sparkles and explosions. Awesome. I love it. I laugh every time. I always got sick of people making fun of Carrot Top my whole life. The straight stand-up people that are just stand-up will go, well, I mean, he's a prop comic. I go, yeah, who gives a shit what it is? Is it funny? That's the question. I mean, I hate mimes. I've never seen a funny mime, so I can't count them. But anybody else, you know, if it's funny, it's funny. I don't like magic, but I love Amazing Jonathan. You can make magic funny if you're funny, if you're a funny person. And Carrot Top shit is, I challenge it. It's fucking funny. And then they all go, well, I could do that. Really? If I gave you $1,000, could you go into Home Depot or Walmart and build all those props? He is the leader of the elves, and they worked their ass off creating that stuff. It's very creative. I couldn't do it in this. It's just a different way of funny. He thinks it visually. I think it in words and like, anyway. But I got to meet Lily Tomlin and she was probably, I don't know, well, she was probably 70 something at the time. She looked adorable, wonderful. And was super friendly. Like I was afraid to even go say hello, but somebody introduced me. I just stand away from people like that and just watch them. But anyway, not like a stalker, not like weird, but, my friend Amy, I'll just give her another plug. If you guys, so you can watch Dolly on an episode. It doesn't say exactly which one. I don't know. Set your thing if you want to watch, go. That's all I can tell you. But my friend Amy, do you guys watch Bosch? The only reason I know one famous actor, it's Amy. She's Lieutenant Billets on Bosch. Do you ever watch that? It's on, is it on Amazon? Yeah, Amazon. Right. I should have known that. Amazon. Mm-hmm. Okay. Anyway, that's all for the Queens. Nothing out of Cher, nothing out of Stevie. Christine McVie, however, in England did an interview and said that Fleetwood Mac, if they went on tour, it would be without Stevie and without John McVie. And I'm like, well, newsflash, that's most of Fleetwood Mac. That leaves you and Mick because you kicked out Lindsay. So what you're saying is you and Mick are going somewhere, a drummer and a keyboard player. And, you know, Christine, her hits were good. Tell me lies, tell me sweet little lies. I liked all of her songs, but then she clarified it. So now I don't know. Like, are we getting into senior moments with these interviews? I mean, I'm like, that would be like something my mom would go, well, I said your Joseph's not coming. And John will be there, and you're not invited. What? And then she'll go, well, that's not what I meant. You just roll with it. You know what I mean? But I don't know if that was a... you can't go without Stevie. Well, you can, but I mean, it's not going to be a thing. I think we all learned that because they kicked Lindsay out and then went on a world tour and sold out all those arenas, one show of which I went to. It was great. Turns out you don't need Lindsay. But am I going if there's no Stevie? No. I don't say so. Because guess what? Stevie's going to pop up on her own somewhere. You know that. She's not sitting at home if she doesn't have to.
She can't help it.
That lady likes work. Updates! Who's ready for updates? I'm going to start out with this one because I think it's awesome. If I was this guy, I would do it too. Okay, so we talked about Banksy. Remember Banksy, the artist that paints things all throughout London? Well, England. And he painted the girl with the hula hoop and the bicycle that was on the people's wall. He paints them on walls. A dude bought it. An art deal. Yeah, it's, man, if you could afford it. An art dealer has purchased a recent Banksy mural of a girl playing hula hoop with a bicycle tire from property owners in Linton, Nottingham, as the market for the anonymous street artist's work continues to climb. I'm going to tell you, they don't say exactly how much, but this is... he paid six figures for the piece, which had been placed under protective plastic cover, which the gallerist, this guy owns a gallery, feared might damage it. If you put Perspex over a picture, the moisture gets into the brick wall and can't escape. The wall needs to breathe. He hired a very specialized company with experience moving Banksy's work to cut through the brick wall to extricate the work of art. This is not his first purchase. He also purchased Season's Greetings, blah, 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 and he has a gallery where you can go see him, which is super nice. But only six figures? That's what I'm thinking. I don't know. This kind of crap, I would say a million. Why only six figures? I would think, come on now. You know this is going to be worth millions soon enough. No, he's taking it out of the wall and moving it into his gallery. And people can go see it there. He's extracting it from the wall.
Right, but isn't the cool part about it?
That it's on a wall? No. That's what, the cool part is it starts out like that because it's a mystery and they pop up. But eventually it's just going to go to shit. So this guy's with the weather and stuff. So good for him, whoever you are, sir. If I had that money... It's like Bitcoin. It's a gamble, but I would do it with a Banksy. Update! Oh, my God. All right, you guys know I'm obsessed with a flying car.
Oh, God.
It's going to happen. Orlando's already building landing pads. We know this from this pubcast. World's first flying car that could travel 100 miles an hour, cleared for takeoff. What? Yep. I can't even pronounce... I'm going to try to pronounce this. The Terra... Fugia, F-U-G-I-A, T-E-R-R-A, F-U-G-I-A. The Terra Fugia Transition Rotable Aircraft has been given all clear by the FAA in the United States. It's the world's first flying car. Now, you guys won't be able to see this if you're listening. If you're not watching the YouTube video, you won't even be able to see it if you're watching this YouTube video. You'll have to Google the Terra Fugia. But here's the thing. This is not what I... was hoping for. The Japanese one looks like a Jetsons. This looks like a mini airplane with tires because it takes off like that. They're calling it the world's first flying car that can travel at 100 miles an hour and fly up to 10,000 feet. So that's pretty good. It's been approved for takeoff. It's been granted an FAA Special Light Airport Aircraft Airworthiness Certificate by the official aviation body. This means it meets the standard for flight at least. So despite not being on the road or the sky just yet, it does mean that the day could come pretty soon in the future. The vehicle has a 27-foot wingspan. Yeah, see, that's a plane.
Yeah, it's huge.
I don't want my flying car to have wings.
Well, you can't fit it in your driveway.
Right. You can't fit in the driveway. You can't park it. How am I going to park this thing? I can barely park a Mercury Mariner. 27-foot wingspan that folds down to make it small enough for the whole thing to fit inside a single car garage. Oh, they fold. Oh, now we're getting into Osprey-type shit. The flying car is powered by a 100-horsepower fuel-injected engine that can fly at speeds up to 100 miles an hour. Now that we know that. It has a range of approximately 400 miles, and the safety feature includes an airframe parachute. Oh, okay. and the carbon fiber safety cage. Okay. The idea of the vehicle is you'll fly the plane before landing it on a small stretch of road or small airport before simply driving it off wherever you want to go. So it's the chameleon deal. And I think, well, the Osprey, which I had to ride in some of those in Afghanistan and Iraq, after being told, you know, these are the ones that crash the most. These are the ones we have the problems with because it's a helicopter, yet it's an airplane. And I feel the same way about that as I do about when you see a Kentucky Fried Chicken and a Taco Bell in the same building. No. No. You're doing two things and something ain't going to get all the love. Savers. It's 50-50. You can't do it 100%. The idea, it's a helicopter, it's all plane, all in one. It didn't work that good. Those Ospreys had a lot of problems. And this thing is a car plane. I like the Japanese one better where it's just like a glass. The Jetsons. I don't want maybe tiny wings, but I don't want 27 foot. I don't know.
This plus, is a Transformer.
Yeah, the Transformer. My little brother had a lot of those. Currently, pilots can buy an air-only model that runs on both car fuel and aircraft fuel if they want to take it for a spin. Well, my friend Drew, who's married to who? Amy, the actor. Drew's the finance guy. Maybe Drew can take us for a ride in one. Those who want to get one will need both a sport pilot certificate, Drew's that has that, as well as a valid driver's license, and Drew has that. The vehicle will still need to be declared roadworthy. The Chinese company has been pursuing this plan to create a roadable aircraft for years, with this new certificate representing a significant step in the right direction. General Manager Kevin Colburn praised his team's efforts, doing what he called an extremely challenging pandemic year. Our team has remained focused. Okay, Kevin. Terrafugia was bought out by Geely, a Chinese company that owns car manufacturer Volvo. In 2017. Wow. Well, go look at this plane car plane, and see if you like it. And if you think that's the future, you should buy yourself some stock in Geely. Geely. I don't think that's going to be the answer. Update. Remember when I read to you guys about that guy that wrote in the YouTube comment that was very nice? Yeah. Well, he had said he tweeted Richard Simmons, and then Richard Simmons disappeared. So this is an update. It's very, very strange, and it's a rabbit hole. If you have a job, you probably don't want to go down, because I don't understand what has happened to Richard Simmons either. And what's this is what's so fucking crazy about this pandemic. I don't even care about Richard Simmons. I don't care. I liked him. I always thought he was a wonderful guest on Letterman. He's, you know, he's spunky. He's
his shorts were a little short.
His outfits were all appalling on that body. I know. But yeah, I gave him credit for doing it. I wouldn't, and he used to be fat, and then he wasn't fat. And you didn't get upset when Richard was coming on as a guest. You'd be like, oh, you know, he's wacky, wackadoodle, whatever. But I don't really care about, I don't know the man. I've never met the man. But he's like gone. And there's a podcast devoted to this. Once again, why I like the generations of Xers, Z, what did I tell you all was?
Z.
Z's. Those are under 25s.
Yeah.
I don't really know exactly how old these people are that are doing this podcast, but like the Free Britney podcast, like who the fuck has time to sit around and analyze somebody's Instagram account looking for secret messages, which may or may not even be there. And you may see something in, but the kids are dedicated, and they just the fact they're, I think if you're my age, I don't really think my parents like naysayed anything. Like they never told me but they also didn't feed me a lot of bullshit. Like you can be anything you want to be. No, I can't. Just stop it. Can I be a high hurdler? No. Can I be a low hurdler? No. We went through that in track, and I ended up with cinders in my knees, stuck in my knees for days. There's just certain things. It's a realistic view that my parents didn't, I don't know. These kids just go, yeah, let's do a podcast on Britney's Instagram. And then they do it. And it's fun, and it catches on. Like, I would sit there. People my age would be like, yeah, there's just not going to be enough people that would be into that. Like, yeah, no, that's not enough. Like, we need more. Or they don't care.
No.
They do whatever the fuck they want, and the chips fall where they may, and there's something.
They're proud of it.
They're proud of it. But, I mean, there's something to be said for that kind of chutzpah that, like, yeah. Why wouldn't you do a podcast about freeing Britney Spears? And what is her secret Instagram? I'll tell you who doesn't have any subtleties or secret things going on in her Instagram. Tanya Tucker. It's all laid right out on the line. Anyway, there's a whole podcast now. It's called Missing Richard Simmons. It's everything you need to know. It's probably not even new, but it's new to me. And I'm assuming the general public, I haven't heard of it. And I read a lot of this stuff. And they talk about, you know, his bubbly demeanor, what he used to be for you people under the age of the 25. He was just a guy who used to be fat and then he's skinny and he seems, I don't know, you go Google him on Letterman. I didn't ever see him on Howard Stern or listen to him on Howard Stern, but I Letterman a lot. But he's just kind of disappeared. And then I think he called into a show and said he was fine. But it sounds kind of Howard Hughes-y's. Are you guys familiar with Howard Hughes? Mm-hmm. And then he had like a kabool of these guys that kept him and he never left his penthouse thing. I think it was in Vegas. I think Howard Hughes ended up in Vegas on like the top floor of some casino and he never left for years and years. And it was just all fucking bizarre. And this is extremely strange. This guy calls the podcast a love letter to his former friend and he succeeds in humanizing the pop culture icon through personal commentary collected from his deep well of interview material and input he harvested firsthand. I always thought he was very human because even though he was flamboyant and over the top, I believed him. I didn't think it was an act. I think it was him. 40 years he was out in the public and then all of a sudden New York rumors sparked that claimed Simmons' housekeeper slash best friend of 30 years was purposely isolating him and controlling his life. Friends claimed he was summoning some, calling others to explain that he could no longer maintain contact. That's weird. Mm-hmm. Mario Olivier, who last saw Simmons in 2014, told the news that he looked gaunt, too thin for his already petite 5'7 frame. She blamed his tormented appearance on witchcraft. Let's stop throwing the witches under the bus, huh? Why? Leveraged by somebody. It's a claim adamantly refuted by Simmons. Is he really missing? Then there's the whole thing. 2016, he emerged in a phone interview on the Today Show to soothe personal friends and public concern, assuring that he was essentially just taking advantage of some self-care time. Here's the thing, I mean, if he's really a prisoner, there's nothing I can do about it either. It's just kind of fascinating. Like, I don't know. I'm going to go down the rabbit hole for us because I have that kind of time and find out. This article that I had is a little bit old. I'm going to find out exactly, though. It's just weird because he was such a public guy. It's not like he was a private. I mean, he was into it. And then all of a sudden, not. Why? It's a good question, especially when you're super bored. Speaking of Free Britney, I meant to say this when I was talking about Free Britney and I forgot. About Britney Spears. This went unnoticed by many, not by me and my research assistant, Mr. Lewis Black. Because Lewis and I had been on all of the late night talk shows with all of the people, all of them, Conan. Lou never did the Tonight Show. They thought he was too crazy. They were like, well, I don't know, dude, you're not really in the mainstream, which I didn't even agree with, but, we did Letterman, we did Conan, Leno, but by far, our favorite person, and that doesn't mean I don't have love for the others, but who would I go hang out with? Who would I go on a vacation with? Craig Ferguson, by a million. His Scottishness, and he's funny, and he's normal, and like, Letterman, no, it just... weird, just off, like some, not, no, like funny show, funny, yes, yes, David, funny, yes, personally, one-on-one, awkward, strange, no, Leno, well, Jay's fine, but all he wants to talk about is cars, and I just go, I don't care.
He's not
nice. He's very, very nice. And he always tell me, well, you know, as soon as you're ready to get rid of that mercury, Kathleen, I can get you any car you want to get. Just call me. Just call me. I said, I'm never getting rid of it till it can't work anymore. Then I'll call you, Jay. This is a really good car. Then what are you doing? You make a good living. What are you doing? I'm like, stop talking about cars. I don't care. I don't care what I drive. I don't care what you drive. I don't care. But Craig was the most seemingly like us, I guess. And he was, I think he treated it more than a job. Like I don't know how to explain it. But anyway, this is a little shout out to the niceness of Craig Ferguson, because I did think this was shitty and I did not partake in anything like this. I don't really do jokes about celebrities in my act anyway, unless maybe sports, like my Don King joke, or Tyson jokes, but not celebrities. Like, I don't even know who the Kardashians are, really. I mean, I know of them, and sometimes at the gym I used to go to, they were on TV, but like in a lineup, I couldn't separate them and say that one's, I don't even know, I know Kim's name. Chloe. No, Kiki, is there a Kiki?
I don't know.
There should be. If there's not. Hi, I'm Kiki Kardashian, and she should be the upbeat one, like the fun one, instead of the ones that are all brooding and serious with their lip filler shit, looking like they just got punched in the face. Days after the new Britney documentary, Framing Britney Spears, debuted on Hulu, a 2007 monologue by Craig Ferguson defending the singer is going viral. And you guys should watch. I think you should watch it, but that's just because every once in a while, it's nice to know there's decent humans out there rather than people just going, well, it's a job, you know, I just do what I'm supposed to and I make money and I don't give a shit. He actually, it was almost exactly 14 years ago, Spears 39 made the headlines by shaving her head with an electric clippers in front of the paparazzi after checking herself out of rehab. That's never a good move. You're not supposed to check out. You're supposed to leave when you're done, but that early checkout? While the incident provided plenty of fodder for late night jokes, Ferguson refused to make fun of what is now her legendary late night moment. The video was unearthed by a Britney fan Twitter account. A fan account that was featured in the Framing Britney Spears documentary. Never forget when Craig Ferguson refused to make fun of Britney Spears. The tweet read, accompanied by a clip from his monologue. He compared the media attention around troubled celebrities to the show America's Funniest Home Videos. You know, he says, you know, you'd be laughing at the kid falling over, but you're also like, wait a minute, put the camera down and help your kid. Which is why, like, America's Funniest Home Videos, some were just funny because it was silly, but some you could tell they did it on purpose. And it was just mean. I hate pranks, never liked pranks, because you're just, I don't know, it's just, I don't think it's funny. And it's not like I have some moral high ground. I just think, why would you do that to that person? Like, I don't know, they're silly pranks, and then they're just mean shit. He added, people are falling apart. People are dying. Before mentioning former Playmate Anna Nicole Smith, who passed away from a drug overdose at the age of 39 just weeks earlier. When people started laughing after he mentioned she died, he said, it's not a joke. It stops being funny. And I remember seeing that, and you can watch it on the clip. Those late night audiences are also, though, they're kind of encouraged. Almost like when there's a pause, it's like a monkey response that they know they're supposed to laugh there, and they're actually trying to be polite. I always thought, but I also think, I don't know, I don't think you can blame the crowd, but he was just trying to point out, it's not funny. Like, there's some, people are dead now. That's not funny. It ceases to be funny. He added, he's starting to feel uncomfortable with making jokes about these people. We should be attacking the powerful people, the politicians and the Trumps and the blowhards. He was talking about Trump back then. We shouldn't be attacking the vulnerable. And this is mea culpa. This is just for me. I think my aim has been off recently and I want to change it. So tonight, no Britney Spears jokes. The woman has two kids. She's 25 years old and she's a baby herself. Right. And then the clip came to an end. But he's the only one. I remember it. And I thought, you know, there's so many things you can joke about. Think if you're Britney Spears. I mean, she never did anything horrible. She's one of those Disney kids that, you know, come on now. How do you end up there? I can tell you firsthand. When you see a kid in a commercial, usually You'll hear the parents go, "We were just walking down the street and this person came up and said, 'Would you like to be in a Cheez-It commercial? Your child is beautiful.'" Let me tell you, most of that is horse shit, because I had to go to commercial auditions when I was young and really needed the money. And you can do a million commercial auditions and you'll probably never get any. And then if you do get one, you could be like my friend Chip Chinnery, and you all of a sudden you get all of them. Like, he was the Bud Light guy for like 2 years. Chip is like, yeah, he made, oh my God. The money is crazy, but the odds, it's like a lottery ticket. And then finally I quit going on commercial auditions because it was too far to drive and the odds are so, I'd have better luck with a scratch-off ticket. And that's what I would do instead. I'm like, you know what? Nope, I'm not coming for the mayonnaise commercial. Anyway, I went to one where there were kids involved, and it was in this giant building and there were children everywhere. And then there was one for twins, and I'd never seen that many twins in one room. I mean, it was kind of fascinating, but the parents were sitting there. And the one lady, she had all of her shit up for her kids. And I remember going, man, I'm like 30 and that kid's got way better headshots than me. That kid's got a better resume than me. It's packaged better than the garbage I'm bringing in here. Here's a headshot. I forgot to put my number on it. I wrote it on the back in a marker. Like, my shit was not, it was fine. It was acceptable. But these children, they were like 5 and 6 and 7. And I'm like, holy crap. And you could tell they didn't want to be there because they're behaving like kids. So Brittany ended up, you just end up feeling sorry for her. But the whole point of this is to go, never forget, Craig Ferguson was a wonderful human being and said, you know, let's knock it off, like, before somebody gets killed again, because everybody's relentless. That was kind of a pulpit, but update, moving on. God love Craig Ferguson. And he's funny. If you go watch his Netflix specials, he makes me laugh. How many Federal Reserve banks are there in the nation, Paddles? Do you know?
12.
Excellent.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah!
There are 12. This is important to know. Boston, New York, Philadelphia, Cleveland, Richmond, Atlanta, Chicago, St. Louis, Minneapolis, Kansas City, Dallas, San Francisco. I don't know why they don't have another one out west. I don't think you need St. Louis and Kansas City. We're awfully close.
Or Chicago.
Well, Chicago's 4.5 hours away, though.
It's all in the Midwest, though.
Yeah, it is the Midwest. Well, then they show you the territories they cover. Like 12, San Francisco's got the entire west. It's got Idaho, Washington, Oregon, California, Utah, Nevada, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, this is your Bitcoin update. The Federal Reserve Bank of St. Louis published a report, Decentralized Finance on Blockchain and Smart Contract-Based Financial Markets. Now, just be known, I don't understand the sentence I just read. Let that be known. But what I do know is the headline of this article is Federal Reserve Bank of St. Louis taking a close look at Ethereum DeFi. DeFinance? Exactly. They're keeping a close eye on Ethereum. That's a Bitcoin. That's a cryptocurrency. It's not Bitcoin. It's different. They do a lot of contract stuff. If you'd ask me to explain that in depth, I can't. But you know what? I don't overthink a scratch-off ticket either. Just buy it. I don't really care if you buy it or not. But if the feds are thinking about, okay, maybe we'll use Ethereum for contracts and stuff, that I'm not going to read the rest of this. It's way too hard. You know who would do this? The other Kathleen Madigan. Goop, yes. Maybe I'll have her call in. She's wonderful. She tweeted me, hey, I'm Kathleen Madigan too. And then I met her. And now she comes backstage whenever I'm on the East Coast and we catch up. But she would understand all of this. If you Google her, you can Google the other Kathleen Madigan and see all the smart things she's written. And it, believe me, it is not me. I'm not going to read all that. But just so you know, that's what's happening with the update on the Bitcoin. And it's reaching new heights. I have my little Coinbase app right here where I do. Let me do a check-in. Let me see what it's at today. I think it crossed the 54,000 mark. Bitcoin, Coinbase, that's the app you could buy and trade your cryptocurrency. 54,527. What? Now, mind you, I'm going to disclaimer this again. I'm not a financial advisor.
Gamble.
I am a scratch-off lady who hears about shit, and then I do it. I don't do a lot of research. My brother, however, Mr. Financial Advisor, well, no, I can't tell that story. He might get in trouble. There's rules, Kathleen. Whatever. Okay, what's it time for? Research assistant, Lewis Black. Animals that can kill you in your state. Word to New Hampshire. What do you think, Paddles? I just think some of these are cop-outs.
Deer?
Nope. Dogs.
Dog. Come on,
I
dogs.
Know.
Yeah.
Well, they have a surprisingly large amount of legislation regarding dog bites and attacks. Their dog bite laws are more favorable to dog bite victims than almost any other state. The extra strict laws covered liability for any damage done by a dog, whether it was a human injury, damage on property, or to another dog or cat. Well, dogs? Is that it, New Hampshire? Is anybody in New Hampshire listening? Is that all you're scared of when you go out at night?
Dogs.
Dogs? I mean, if I was going to go walk in the woods in Missouri at night, there's a lot of shit I'd be afraid of, and dog would not come up. New Jersey. Besides the mob, what do you think could kill you? Chris Christie could sit on you. What else? Think of trash.
Rats.
Mm-mm.
Rats, big rats.
No. Coyotes.
What?
I know.
Come on.
Hard to picture being in Newark and a coyote just wandering down. No, I think it's out in the woods. New Jersey did not have enough information about animal-related deaths to make the CDC's list. They didn't even submit their shit. But see, up in the East Coast, I don't think about snakes. Not like in the Midwest or the South where I think about...
It's the Garden State.
Right, the Garden State. I have really fun shows there. And it always surprises me because I think I'm too Midwesty, but they are a great crowd. These are the ones that came to Atlantic City. By the way, did you see Trumpy's Casino? It's not his. It hasn't been his in years. Even when I worked there, it wasn't his. It was Carl Icahn, who ironically, St. Louis, what? TWA? Yep, going back that far. And then I thought, I didn't want to work for Trump, and I sure shit don't want to work for Carl fucking Icahn. Ugh. But I did, because I'm a hoe. That's right. Who gonna pay me the most? Who's got the best showroom? Anyway, they have a coyote problem. In 2017, one woman was walking her small dog when a pack of five coyotes surrounded them. She was terrified, but luckily she drove a car drove past and honked its horn, and the coyotes fled. They've moved east in the recent years. The population of coyotes in New Jersey has gone from around 100 to an estimated 3,000. There have been several encounters with aggressive coyotes reported, but one in particular had officials perplexed. While walking his dog, a man was attacked in the woods by an animal he said came out of nowhere. He described it as a large brown canine, but neither he nor the police could pin it down whether it was a coyote or a dog.
I
don't know.
We'll do
one more just because my list. Lewis, are you listening? This list got a little boring, Lou.
A lot of dogs and cows.
Well, New Mexico. Now, see, I would think snakes.
Coyotes.
No, deer.
What?
I don't.
No.
Even, yeah, in New Mexico, that's the number one killer. See, I would think rattlesnakes. Deer are certainly less threatening than some of New Mexico's other residents, which include rattlesnakes, coral snakes. I thought coral snakes were mostly in Florida. And scorpions. Thought of that, too.
Yeah.
However, the CDC lists large mammals as most being likely cause of animal-related death in the state.
Hi.
Mm-hmm. There were 191 deaths caused by drivers hitting large animals, mostly deer, in 2013 alone, as well as 9%. Increase in deer-related accidents from 2015 to 2016. There you have it. Lewis, you're going to have to get another segment going here, Lou. We're already on N. And we're deep into N. Yeah, dogs, deer, come on. But maybe that's really the truth. I don't know.
Because there's more dogs.
Well, there's more coyotes.
Probably more rats than coyotes in Jersey.
Yeah, they're not even mentioning rats. Right. But I guess the plague... It still happens. Okay, famous things women invented. I like this little thing. This will run out too. There's only like 10. Caller ID and call waiting.
Oh, nice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Dr. Shirley Ann Jackson. She's an American theoretical physicist. Why I can't be one? Because I can't even pronounce the first part of it. Theoretical, whose research from the 1970s is responsible for caller ID and call waiting. Her breakthrough in telecommunications have also enabled others to invent the portable fax, fiber optic cables, and solar cells. She's the first African-American woman to gain a PhD from the Massachusetts Institute of Technology and was the first African-American woman to lead a top-ranked research university. Nice. Go for you, sure. As Rocky LaPorte would say. Go for you, Shirley. Go for you. That's kind of cool. Caller ID. I remember when that all started. Caller ID is a lifesaver because before all that, did you guys ever have party lines?
Yeah.
Yeah, those were brutal. Yeah. Whose fucking idea was that? Well, I'll just have them all run off one phone line. You're like, oh, I'm listening to Mr. and Mrs. Amato down the street. It was just a bad idea.
Shirley probably hated her mother-in-law and wanted to know what she was calling.
She surely probably hated somebody and thought, I ain't ever picking up that motherfucker again. I want to see it on the thing. Here's a good one. Ladies, this is, I don't ever want to do hack jokes where I go, well, men are stupid and women are smart. But sometimes I do think women are a little more, they think about a practical thing a little longer, maybe. This was invented by Mary Anderson, the windshield wiper.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. On a winter's day in 1903, Mary Anderson was visiting New York City when she noticed that her driver was forced to open his window just to clear the snow from his windshield. Every time the window would open, the passenger in the car got colder. Right. Anderson started drawing her solution of a rubber blade that could be moved from inside the car, and 1903 was awarded a patent for her device. But the invention proved unsuccessful with car companies who believed it would distract drivers. Well, wow. It might, but how about the 8 layers of ice on the windshield? Yeah, that's even worse. Anderson never profited from her invention. Aw, even when the wipers later became standard on cars. Well, what a bunch of shit. Now the lady gets screwed. She thinks of the smart thing. I remember once my mom's broke and we were driving like 3 hours to the lake. So we got rope and tied it on. And then I had to do this for 3 hours. I just had to keep pulling. And she's just screaming, smoking in the car. Give me another cigarette. Pull harder, harder. It's raining. I'm like, oh my God.
Pull the rope.
They broke, yeah, her side. So I had the rope going like this, and she's smoking, and yeah. Okay. This one, holy shit. I love, do you guys ever watch American Greed on CNBC? Mm-hmm. It's a great show, great, great, great show. And it's a super great show, like if you don't want to think hard and you're doing other things, but you can have it on. 100 years ago, I saw this lady on this. And then I think ABC News did a thing on this lady. I'm kind of super fascinated with con people. And I wouldn't, people want to put Bernie Madoff in that category. That's not what I mean. Bernie's more like Madoff to me was a thief. He's running a scam. Yeah, but some of it's legitimate. And he's using his real name, and those are his real children. None of it was good. I'm not saying it's good. I'm just saying it's different than this. This is the story, and I cannot flip and wait. Oh, I forgot. Well, wait a minute. Before I talk to her about her, because this is what we're going to need to watch, but it's not ready yet, sadly. But what are we watching? Let's rewind a little bit to the What Are We Watching segment. Since I don't have a bell. Yes, with my light up. Fire! Well, I watched the last episode of The Lady and the Dale. Did you guys watch that? I may need to go rewatch all 4 episodes, but here's what I was thinking the entire time. As you're watching it, for those of you who have, there's a Los Angeles news reporter, Carlson. Dave, I think, was his first name. I don't. Just somebody, Carlson. And he was clearly an asshole. And he even had to address the fact that he was obsessed with the lady and her car, the lady who was really a man, but she'd done crazy things to have sex changes. She clearly wanted to be a woman. It wasn't to hide as a woman because she did nothing. She did the opposite of hiding. She went to Mexico and got castrated. It's almost unbelievable, but it happened.
Elizabeth Carmichael.
I know. Who's the reporter? Los Angeles Carlson. This is his last name. Dave, I think. I can't remember. And I just watched it a week last Sunday.
Dick Carlson.
Dick, even better.
Yeah, fitting.
Fitting. Yeah, plays to his brand. But throughout the whole show, I said to my sister, I said, that reporter guy seems overly obsessed with whether or not this man is a man or a woman. Like, is he transgender? Is he transsexual? Whatever the term they would have used back then. Well, he just said tranny on the nightly news. Like, they just threw that around back then. But whether or no, it doesn't matter. It didn't matter. I don't care if said person is a man or a woman or was a man or was a woman or whatever the fuck. The news was they're stealing. Or are they stealing? About this car that she may or may not build, or he. It was about a scam of money. It had nothing to do, but this dude was fixated on it. And then and mean about it. And he just kept saying, you know, well, that's really a man. Who cares? Whoever it is going to be arrested. If this is true, whatever this thing is going on, where the scam where he's taking money up front from a car that may or may not work or run. Who knows? Anyway, I kept saying that this dude's weird. Like, why is he so... And then he even addressed it. He goes, we are getting a lot of, you know, audience, you people out there listening, wonder or not if we are obsessed with this story. And I'm like, bingo, because you are. Even the viewers in Los Angeles were like, dude, let it go and just figure out if he's stealing or not, or she, whatever you want to call Elizabeth Carmichael at the time. I would say she, because it was a she, but he's fixated. And in the same show, he's fixated with Renee Richards, who was the famous, you won't know if you're younger, I barely remember, this eye doctor who became a chick and then moved to California, redid his whole life as a woman, and then joined a tennis tournament in Palm Springs, and then got outed by who? Dick Carlson, that he's really a man. Again, I don't, well, here's the biggest holy shit at the end. That man, Dick Carlson, is the daddy of who? Tucker Carlson on Fox News. Which I think, but like Lewis says, usually when your parents are whatever, you go the opposite way. Tucker went more of like fixating on things. Yeah, well, the whole thing, whatever you feel about it. A hater, yeah, every night. A lot of hate, a lot of anger. About what? You're a bazillionaire. Because Dick Carlson ended up marrying the heir to the Swanson dinner, which I must say I did love. I love a good frozen Swanson dinner. Even the mashed potatoes were never right, but everything else was great. And he married that lady. So, hello, make it rain. So you should go watch A Lady in the Dale. Then the other thing that is completely awesome... Well, first, I think, if you haven't seen it, you should go on Netflix and watch, it's just a 1.5 hour doc, not a doc, I guess you'd call it a documentary, about crack. So that you have a basis of the crack thing, how it got into the communities, who may or may not be responsible, so on and so forth. Then after you've watched that, and now I got Lewis on it, the Wu-Tang, an American family drama. It is so good. It's on Hulu. The actors are so good, you forget they're actors. I was like, yeah, I bet that guy, in my mind, he could be dealing crack downtown in St. Louis. That's how good of an actor the guy was. All of them. And it's, I know people are going to go, people that may not know who the Wu-Tang Clan or their music or whatever, doesn't even matter. It's a story. I do happen to know a lot of their music, and I do happen to like a lot of their music. And, it's not really about them being a band as much as it is how the world was at the time when they became a band. But I binged through all of season one. It was so great. And I'm so happy they gave me all the episodes. So I felt like a sustained, comfortable rat. Like I got all of my crack cocaine. I'm not going to be left going, what's the next episode? I just patiently wait for a new season. That's it. That's the way this should be working. HBO will give you an episode a week. Boing. So that was my, what are we watching? Go watch Wu-Tang, an American saga. I think it's called American Saga. So good. I can't wait for season 2. All right. So what will be coming on Netflix, and I went looking for it. It's called Shonda Rhimes is doing it, and it's going to be called Inventing Anna or Anna. I'm sure she says Anna because she's Russian originally. Anna would be the Midwest. The Midwest pronunciation would be Anna. Two hard A's. Anna. Anna Sorokin. Yeah, she came by the other day with a casserole. True. I saw her up at the fish fry at St. Mark's, Our Lady of Snows. Anna Sorokin. So I'm going to, because this one is fascinating to me. I am fascinated a little too much, I think. I think because it's something that, A, I would have no idea how to do. B, even if I had the idea, there's too much Catholic school in me to pull any of it off because it's not that I'm moral high ground that I wouldn't want to lie. I just suck at it so badly. There's just no way I could pull off a con successfully. I'd have a better chance of robbing people's property than I would creating a whole persona that's bullshit and then running around and scamming. But this comes with the territory of Instagram. Especially Instagram is the culprit on this one, these stories, because they create their whole persona with pictures and people believe the pictures. I don't know why. I would think the younger people would realize that everything can be, like, I understand when my parents say, well, when you're in New York, don't get in the Hudson River. I saw a picture of a great white in there. What? Where'd you see that, Mom? Facebook? Okay. Well, that wasn't real. That was Photoshop. But I expect my parents' first thoughts, mine barely is, oh, that's Photoshop. That's something I've had to teach myself as time goes on. I don't expect the young people to fall for it at all because that's their first thought. Is this Photoshopped? Is this real? When was this taken? Like, they question everything. My parents' generation questioned nothing. Me, my generation, we think of it, but it isn't the first thought. The kids, usually, it's the first thought. But this lady, through her Instagram and other ways, her name, just so you, this is just fascinating, Anna Vadimova Sorokina. Born January 23rd, 1991, a Russian-born who gained notoriety for her singular role in a fraud scandal. She moved to New York City in 2013. Now, the reason this is coming up to is she was just released from prison. And it's starting all over. It's fucking unbelievable. She moved to New York City in 2013 and created the fictitious identity of Anna Delvey, pretending to be a wealthy German heiress. In 2019, she was convicted of multiple counts of attempted grand larceny, theft of services, and larceny in the second degree for defrauding New York hotels and with wealthy acquaintances. Her story was widely reported for her ability to blend into social circles. In 2019, the television adaptations are supposed to, yeah, well, they're not done yet. I think because of the pandemic, it's been delayed, but it definitely was supposed to be out in 2019, then 2020. She's from a working-class satellite town southeast of Moscow. She was one of two children, blah, blah, blah. She went to school. They don't explain how the family got money to send her to school in France, and then she dropped out of that. Then she went to Germany, and then she, on May 2019, she was given a sentence of 4 to 12 years in a state prison, fined $24,000 in order to pay restitution of about $199,000, so 200 grand. After serving her sentence, she will face deportation to Germany. So she had the choice. She could have accepted a deal after they caught her. And she said, no, I want to go to trial. Well, that's because a sociopath would like some more attention. Hello? They're not just going to take a deal and fade into nothingness. No. She wants the attention. So they did it, and they put her on trial, and she fucking lost. And she spent this time in prison. Well, she's out. And the way she defrauded people, this is what I don't understand. They're like, whoa. You know, she just because you tell somebody I'm a German heiress, she got people to pay tabs and then she wouldn't contribute. And for some reason, they were all just kind of okay with that. Like at some point, the one girl says, you know, well, she said she wanted to take a trip to Morocco, but her credit card wasn't working. So could I put the plane ticket on my credit card? So I did. This girl ended up spending 60 grand on Anna and got none of it back. Okay, stop right there.
She got a book deal.
Stop right there. Well, she did get a book deal, but nobody's going to buy the book. I mean, come on. Who gives a shit?
Here's my story of how I was tricked by somebody I thought was super cool.
I don't care. And I don't, for instance, for a friend, I would put a night at a Marriott on my credit card. I'm going to spot you $129.
And a beer.
I will spot you a bar tab, depending on which one of my friends it is. Some of them, no, I won't, because that would be more than the room. Others, casual drinkers, sure, I'd spot you a bar. If you put a first class ticket, and it's a first class ticket, to Morocco, it had to be $20,000. And you just pop that on your credit card thinking she will pay you back. You must want to be with this person so badly that you will accept that. Otherwise, no. So in a way, I don't really feel that bad for the ones who got tricked. Maybe a hotel here and there. But overall, I don't think that this Anna should have done any of this. But also, there is an element of people wanting to be with someone they think is famous or they think is cool. And this is what this lady's presented. And quite frankly, somebody put it very politely on a podcast, like, she's fine looking, but she's not like Giselle. I mean, she's not like smoking hot where you'd go, oh my God, she's the most beautiful person in the room. So therefore people want to be by that person. Eh, no. Just to give you an idea of some of the shit she did. And she's out. This is what she's doing now. Then I'll get back to what she did, I guess. These articles aren't in order. Fresh off being released from a four-year prison sentence for good behavior, Anna Sorokin says she's learned nothing, has no regrets, and believes prison is a huge waste of time. And you know what? All of this makes perfect sense to me. In case you need a refresher, she's the Soho grifter, Anna Delvey. I blame these social circles. You people just trust like that? That's part of the problem of being rich. Poor, normal people don't trust like that. You ask me for three nights at the Marriott on my credit card, now I go, what up? Why doesn't your card work? What's going on? Like, they don't, I just think that this is part of the behavior. If you, she's the Soho grifted, roughly $275,000 she conned people out of. She spent 19 months at Rikers Island while awaiting trial and spent another 21 months in prison at correctional facility after she was convicted. In an interview with Insider, she said she didn't gain much from the experience, and which was ostensibly intended to make her feel remorse for what she did. No, it's not. Sometimes prison isn't to make you feel remorse. Sometimes prison is simply a punishment. Sometimes it's we're going to rehabilitate you. But sometimes it's just, no, you're bad. You're going to be put in a corner. I don't need to explain it any more than that. You break the laws, bad shit will happen. It's not intended to necessarily make her feel. You can't make people feel anything, ever. You can't make them think. Yeah, a Russian, good luck. God. They're not, no. They're built a little tougher than that. She said prison was intended to make her feel remorse. No, I don't agree right there. For what she did and to ensure she didn't do it again. No, she's a sociopath. They get out, they do it again. They get out, they do it again. And it will never stop. But prison, she said, isn't designed to do any of those things. I took this phase 3 program to teach people how to transition back out of prison. They will show you these videos. They still have VHS tapes. Okay, so like all of the Generation Zs are like, what's that? And this is stupid. I agree. Okay. They're basically telling you how to get a job. This is what they tell you in prison. How to look at classified ads. Okay, that's bad. That's like what my dad would say. Did you get the newspaper? Have you checked through the classifieds? Which is so crazy because that's not the world right now. It's just pointless. It's a huge waste of time. I agree with that part. If you're going to tell people how to get a job, you got to modernize what's going on out there, because I feel like it's insane to take people, to lock them up, take everything away from them and just expect them to reform. Nobody expected you to reform. I sure shit don't. What is that supposed to do for you? Nothing. We're not trying to do something for you, Anna. We're trying to do something for us. Let's keep you away from everybody. You're just deprived of everything. Yes, it's prison. The same solution for everyone, no matter what you've done. Wow, see, she's the victim already. When you're a criminal, it's such a different mindset. Whether you kill someone or if you sell drugs. So she's saying, I didn't do any of that. Like, I did bad stuff. But the place where you're coming from is not comparable. they have this universal solution for everyone, and that should not be the case. Sorokin has a point, of course. Prisons don't exist to teach people lessons or deter them from crime. It is a proven fact that incarceration isn't successful at doing either of those things. Correct. But it's a punishment because you broke the goddamn laws. If we don't have punishment for any laws, then there's no reason to have laws. Oh, yeah, yeah. Instead, the prison system perpetuates racial and economic oppression while generating huge profits from private corporations. Yes, I don't think they should be privatized either. As well as the state and federal governments. She said she's working on a memoir about her experience with the criminal justice system, which will generally reflect these opinions. I would argue this message is probably best communicated by a person of color, and indeed it has been many, many times. Before you dismiss her comments as flippant or remorseless, they're both, it's worth to consider she may be right. No, she's wrong. Even if you don't condone her behavior and believe that she really should learn a lesson, it was never prison that was going to teach her it. Nothing will teach her it. That's not about that. But here's what she's doing. 3 days she's been out. 3 days as of yesterday. She already has an Instagram account that's rocking and rolling. She's going to have Anna TV.
What?
Yep. She's going to show us videos of her going to meet with her parole officer. She already got a fur coat from somewhere, and she's staying in a fancy hotel. I can't check into a Holiday Inn Express half the time with a credit card that does work. I'll go, I don't know. It doesn't work. It's paid. It works. I don't know. I guess it must be our machine.
Do you have cash?
Our free breakfast. It's great. And it is. Have you ever had Holiday Inn Express free breakfast? One of the Dakotas. And Minnesota. And they had biscuits and gravy. I was like, this is kind of a Southern thing. Look at these people branching out. I can't say they all have that. Don't quote me on that. Don't check into a Holiday Express and get your heart set on biscuits and gravy and then go down there. It's not at all of them. Just at some, and I can't tell you why. She used her fake identity. She got loans from banks. She got like 50 grand out of a Citibank. She would open accounts and write fake checks. I can't wait for the actual show. I think, I want to say it's not Lindsay Lohan. Who's the other girl? The one that's in all the movies now. She looks like Lindsay Lohan, but it's not Lindsay Lohan. Jennifer Lawrence. I think she's playing her.
Nothing like her.
They look enough.
Oh, no, it's the girl from Ozark.
Right. It's the girl from Ozark, right.
Yeah.
Julia Garner.
Yeah.
But I thought, what's her face? She played Ruth. Yeah. So she's going to play her. But I think, what's her face? Jennifer Lawrence is in it. Or maybe she wanted to be in it. And then they said no.
You're crazy.
But I can tell you, Julie Garner does not look like her. Julie Garner's way cuter than the real Anna, in my opinion. After using her false identity to obtain loans, she was arrested. We know all that. She tried to appeal her case. That didn't work. Because you fucking did it. But she just sucked so much money out of people. I don't even understand. Like, how do you get credit cards with a complete fake identity? How smart? There's something crazy smart about these people. And they're not using it in a good way, but still. She's talking about how dumb. She did an interview. You spent time at two different correctional facilities, 19 months in jail at Rikers Island, 21 months in prison at the whatever correctional facility. What were they like for you? I made it work. I'm not coming for a place where it's, oh, all right, put me in jail. I don't care. I mean, I was upset about it, but it's just not so bad to act as a deterrent for any future crimes. You know, you're just there. You don't have any clothes or a phone. A phone.
In prison.
But whatever. If you focus on the stuff you like and want to do it, you can make it work. And then she talks about the thing. People come to prison and they just start doing drugs. I can't blame them. If that was my thing, I'd be getting high all the time. I was old enough to know who I am and what I want, but I don't see many girls. They're like 18, 19, they come. They just don't know what's going on. They don't have any family support or whatever. They just start doing drugs in there. I never saw as many drugs as I did in a New York prison. Then they ask her, you know, do you have celebrity status in prison too? Yeah, it's kind of like the scene in New York, but amplified, because if you know the right offices, they're going to get you the right job. I had a job at the gym because I wanted to work out when no one else would go, and they gave it to me. It's all about who you know, what people think of you. Did they know who you were? Absolutely. All of them. Every single one of them knew who I was. And they were inappropriate times. They would say, I really like your Instagram. Oh, my God. The New York Times asked her, do you regret anything? And she said, I think regret is a useless feeling because I clearly cannot go back in time and change anything. And that's what they made out of it. And this is what they made out of it. That's what they made.
Oh, yeah, yeah. She's an asshole.
She's a sociopath. I have to deal with the consequences of my actions. Yeah. But to just sit around and think about everything I've done, it's not going to change it. I don't know. Be a huge waste of time. I did what I did. And I was like, I don't know. She doesn't really, you don't know how old you were when you did this. I was like 23, 24, or 25. I'm just trying to fix things and move on. And I never really went, oh, let me go defraud City National Bank. That will be the best thing ever to do. Yes, you did. That's exactly what you did, as a matter of fact. Or let me go take this random girl, Rachel, on a vacation and make her pay. Yes, you did, because you knew goddamn well you didn't have this money. Oh, my God. I think it's an insult to my intelligence. Okay, maybe it is, but it's well-deserved. Like the whole case the prosecutors created against me, they present me as being like thirsty and greedy. I just had a vision and it didn't work out.
Wow.
Oh my God. Oh my God. There's more of this. I'm not going to keep going on because we got to wait for the show. They asked her, what were you thinking most of the time in prison? I was thinking, I want my phone. Oh my God. I never got it. I guess they gave me an impression that I would give my old stuff back, but I never got it because my case is still under appeal, which is understandable. It's all right. Makes sense.
My stuff.
She's writing a book. What is Anna Delvey TV? I'm just kind of filming everything I do right now. Like, I'm going to see what I'm going to do with it later. I just got out of prison like 2 days ago. And so it's like me getting all this stuff from Sephora. Me opening a bank account as soon as I got permission from my parole officer to put what in there? You don't have any money. It's amazing. These people, it's a talent that I sure as shit don't have. I'm trying to check into hotels with legitimate credit cards.
Sorry, the machine doesn't work. Do you have another one?
Yes, I do. Let's go through them all. To your fucking machine works. But I mean, seriously, how do you buy thousands of dollars worth of food and drink at these fancy New York hotels and you've not yet? That's the hotel's fault. You know, they're whining and bitching. Well, she rang up a $60,000 bill here and didn't pay any of it. Well, who let it get that far?
Right.
The server? I was a server for thousands of years. Are you going to blame the server? I don't think so. The server's the low man on the totem pole. You know that server at some point had to go to a manager and go, this chick's ordering, like, you know, everything, and I don't have a credit card down. And they went, oh, no, she's a German heiress. Just let it go. Somebody is responsible for buying the bullshit of this lady. She's going to have a new vlog series, if you're interested.
Nope.
She just did an interview with Insider. I mean, social circles. I wonder if she made it to the Hamptons. I can't wait to see the show. Anyway, it's not on yet, but there you go. I'm obsessed.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. All right, this is something totally, if my dad had the money, that he would do. This makes me laugh so hard. A 90-year-old man spent $10,000 on two ads in the Wall Street Journal to tell AT&T CEO about how slow his internet service is. In California, 90-year-old dude took two ads out of the Wall Street Journal, which set him back more than 10 grand to let AT&T see know about his abysmal internet speed service. It may seem like an extreme measure to some, but Aaron M. Epstein, 90 years old, had been a customer since the late 60s. Epstein claims that AT&T has evolved throughout the years. The communication company is still lagging behind when it comes to faster internet service. I mean, Aaron, just saying, you could have just switched for less than 10 grand, but maybe that's what's offered. I don't know. Longtime customer said that for the past 20 years, he didn't have any complaints, but starting 5 years ago when the streaming became widely available, the quality and speed of his AT&T service was more than subpar. For the last 5 years, as soon as they started streaming, like Roku and movies on my TV, on TV, my internet service, although I was paying for 3.5 Mbps sometimes.
Megabytes per second.
Oh, that's a megabyte? Is that the...
Per second.
Mm. Megabyte. I get it. MB. Sometimes was only up to 1.5, so watching a movie through Roku was slideshows. Aaron's old enough to remember slideshows. He lives in North Hollywood, said he decided to purchase the ads because he'd been hounding the company about the estimated time of arrival for their fiber optics, which had been healthily advertised in previous months. While the company remained polite and courteous, according to Epstein, the upgraded services did not seem to be coming to his area anytime soon. So he decided to make a last-ditch effort to not only bring faster internet speeds to himself, but to his community as well. He showed that 10 grand, we know that. One ad ran in Dallas, Texas, where AT&T is headquartered, and the other one ran in Manhattan. He hoped that the New York City ad would encourage investors on Wall Street to pressure AT&T to get a move on. Okay, here's what's funny to me. He's 90, so his first thought is, I'm going to take out an ad in the paper. Now, nobody under the age of 50 probably is diligently reading the newspaper. But the fact that he did it, it's so retro. It, to me, then becomes an actual great thing to do because people will talk about it. Like, it's not just going to go unnoticed.
Well, and he bought a newspaper ad because his streaming was bad.
Right.
No, I hear all this streaming.
He could have bought, well, not for 10 grand ago. I put the ad in the paper, and believe me, it was money well spent, Epstein said, smiling. Epstein's ad that ran on page A7 of the Wall Street Journal on February 3rd issue, the ad was titled An Open Letter. Okay, who that? That's super old school, too. This is an open letter, dear misters and madams. Yeah, to John T. Stankey, CEO, and it read as follows. Here's what he wrote. This is like my dad's fight with DirecTV that never ended. I guess my dad won. He never paid it. Dear Mr. Stankey, AT&T prides itself as a leader in electronic communications. Unfortunately, for the people who live in North Hollywood, California, 91607, AT&T is now a major disappointment.
Oh. Wow. Sad clown.
It's such, that's what my dad would always, like my dad never got angry, like he never yelled, he never threw anything. He would just make you feel horrible through guilt where he'd say, you know, your mother and I are extremely disappointed. And then he'd be like, fuck. I wish I would have rather just gotten hit in the face.
Yeah.
Just give me a one punch, Jack. No. And then we had to have a whole discussion about what does disappointment mean and what does it bring and what does it mean for the future and the family. Anyway, many of our neighbors are the creative technical workers at Universal, Warner Brothers, Disney in the adjacent city of Burbank and our city. We need to keep up with current technology and have looked to AT&T to supply us with fast internet service. Yet, although AT&T is advertising speeds up to 100 megabytes for other neighborhoods, the fastest now available to us is only 3 megabytes. Your competitors now have speeds of over 200 megabytes. Aaron, here's why I don't get, if that's true, why didn't you do that? Or was that not available? I don't know. Why is AT&T, a leading communications company, treating us so shabbily in North Hollywood? Sincerely, Aaron M. Epstein, an AT&T customer since 1916. He said that after the word got out about his ads, he got mixed reactions from people calling him crazy to others relating his frustrations. The one response I got the most kick out of was in the Jewish Daily Forward, referred to me as a 90-year-old kvetch. That's kind of a cranky, which I don't know if even you know your Yiddish, but kvetch means cranky. Yeah, he said with a chuckle. Epstein said he didn't really mind what people think of his actions as long as it gets the job done. The ad ran on February the same morning around 11 a.m. He received a call from a spokesperson who directly represents the president of AT&T. No, motherfucker. If I spent 10 grand, I don't want to speak to the associate of the president. You can tell the president. The spokesperson took down all of Epstein's information, and they said they would see what they could do to help things move things along. So I'm patiently waiting to see what they could do. We'll try to get that happening for you sooner. She said, that's what she told him. While he bankrolled the entire endeavor, he credited the news meeting with helping getting the attention that he believed would invoke change. The press contacted AT&T, where the squeaks are heard, so I appreciate the press. Epstein has yet to see the familiar AT&T trucks moving into his neighborhood and start laying down the fiber optics, but he's remaining optimistic. According to AT&T Fiber Optics, several areas in Los Angeles have received a green mark, symbolizing that the residents have access to faster internet speeds. Cities that are in progress are symboled with a blue mark, according to the map. So, you know, I don't know. You spent $10,000, you got to talk to his assistant.
Yeah.
I don't know. Nope. I mean, it's a good one-off, but I don't trust him to follow through. I don't trust him.
They should give him free internet for life.
They should give him free internet for life, but if I'm him, I don't want to be watching Roku as a slideshow either. All right. We don't have a lot of time left. I have to be choosy. Okay. I keep telling you guys we're going to talk about Jordan Peterson because I want to. Because I didn't even know who the guy was, but I do now. And then there's this crazy story about him. I think I should do this. I just want to give a shout out to Mattress Mac in Houston because
yes.
I have cousins in Houston. And I don't necessarily want to make this podcast super timely about current news, but I've seen ads when I worked in Houston from this guy. They're super cheesy ads, but he opened up all for because when the ice storm hit and the snowstorm hit and the freezing temperatures and a lot of people's pipes broke, my cousin's pipes broke, everybody's shit went haywire. He opened up all of his mattress stores, their furniture stores, furniture gallery, that could hold 300, 400 people. And he said, just come on in, which is more than some of the churches did, I would say. And he's a total Tea Party guy, but he said, you know, I believe that it's your obligation to help people, which is super nice. And he seems like a super fun guy. And he let all those people come in. He provided security. Then when you got there, he had food. There's heat. There's electricity. And the pictures were hilarious because there's just random families in this giant furniture gallery store sitting in a family room as if it's their family room, but it's already set up like a family room. But some of the people, I'm like, then you need my mom. Get your feet off my fucking furniture. Get your goddamn feet off my coffee. That's a few people got too comfortable from the photos I saw. I'm like, okay, now you're overstepping. Now you're that's not nice to Mattress Mac.
That's your fourth bag of freedom.
So shit. The amount of snacks, I'm like, I don't think Mattress Mac is responsible providing healthy food. Food is food at this point, but easy on the Cheetos, guys. I mean, he's got money, but you don't need to eat them out of house and home.
You need all of it.
Right. Just be sweet. But anyway, he does super philanthropic things, but even what's cooler about Mattress Mac, and I had seen this when it happened, because I was super into my Super Bowl bets, he's the guy, and I didn't connect him until now. This is from February 7th, so before all this happened. His real name is Jim McInvale, the Houston furniture magnate. He won his $3.46 million bet on the Buccaneers after Tampa win. It feels good. He netted $3.16 million. That's how much he won. He placed it with DraftKings in Colorado. And up to the point, that was the biggest bet. Then another guy bet more on Tampa straight up to win. He took the points, so he wouldn't win as much if you just picked him straight up. But still, he won 3 points. And he makes big bets in part because he can't get enough insurance to cover the promotions at his gallery furniture franchises in Houston. And then found that big bets were good publicity for his brand. This year's promotion featured a rebate on mattresses of $3,000 or more if the Bucs won the Super Bowl.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
He wouldn't say how much his liability would, but he did say that he covered what he'll have to pay back to his customers who took advantage and have little left over. I'm so excited for them to come in, he said.
He's fun.
He's a fun guy. He figured it out. In 2019, he lost $13 million on his insurance by betting that the Astros would win the World Series. He didn't have to pay his customers back for that instance. He started betting as an insurance policy in 2017 when insurance would only cover so much of roughly the $10 million he would have to pay if the Astros won the World Series. They did. He had some insurance but made a little bit more up by betting that the Astros would win it all. But He's adorable too. He's a cute little guy. And then if you go down the rabbit hole, he's just he believes in capitalism with giving back, which I would say, yeah, that's great. We can have all the capitalism we want as long as people still do nice stuff. So good for Mattress Mack letting all those people in. And he had security too. Because, you know, I don't know, you let 400 people in there, shit could get weird. Mm-hmm. Not at Mattress Mack's, because a cop going to bonk you on the head if you do something crazy. Here's one more. I find this super creepy. Would you like to buy an island?
Yeah.
Would you?
Depends.
Mm-hmm. It should depend. What if it was Jeffrey Epstein's infamous islands? Me neither. Among the many earthly possessions that have been sold off by the executors of Jeffrey Epstein's estates are not one, but two private Caribbean islands he owned. They're caught in the tug of war between the estate, which says it's strapped for cash, and the Attorney General of the Virgin Islands, who is making a move on all assets that once belonged to Epstein. McClatchy and the Miami Herald have learned that there are multiple people interested in Little St. James and Great St. James, two Ks owned by the disgraced financier and later obtained by Epstein. The properties are zoned for residential, not hotel usage, and prospective buyers who seek a private island escape as Epstein and British businessman Richard Branson, who owns an island 34 miles away in the British Virgin Islands. Some parties interested in Epstein's island have gone as far to sign non-disclosures with the estate in hopes of making an offer. These people are quite interested and qualified to buy the islands, and I have some clients that have already visited the islands. She could not provide any more details. She's the realtor. That'd be a good show. Yeah. Nobody would be on it, though. The interest from the buyers that makes even more shocking is that the estate had run out of cash reserves to pay as promised into the Epstein Victims Compensation Fund, which began operating last June. Epstein lawyers' estate noticed that more than $87 million has been paid into the fund. More than $55 million is going to the victims, but the estate is hobbled at the moment in the ability to raise more money by selling the two islands collectively valued at what? $48 to $79 million. That's because liens imposed on the estate by Virgin Islands Attorney General Denise George. She brought a civil racketeering suit against the estate and its co-executors in January 2020, and her sign-off is needed for many large-scale money transactions to take place. No serious buyer is interested in signing a contract on a multi-million dollar property because of the Attorney General's existing liens cannot be sold to it. Huh. In addition to in order to ensure that the estate receives maximum value in a sale, the estate would engage a broker, conduct extensive marketing. No, you're not going to conduct extensive marketing because there's probably only 50 people in the whole world who can buy the goddamn island. You just call them. Can I have Oprah's number? Hello, Oprah. Are you bored in Montecito? Would you like to? Are you bored? How about Hawaii? Are you sick of it? I mean, come on. Who are you going to call? You don't need marketing to ensure the estate would need massive marketing and obtain as many offers as the market will generate. Nobody's walking around with 78. Call it, let's split the difference, 60 million. No. The co-executors are not interested in incurring substantial estate costs for marketing a property that cannot be sold, blah, blah, blah. So we'll see if it takes off. I don't know. I wouldn't buy it, even if I had the money. Creepy. Bad things happen there to a lot of people. Like, it's just a vibe. Like, you know, bad things will go bad. That's all I'm saying. All right. We're going to do Jordan Peterson next time because there's a lot there. And I'm not going to go into what I really think of Jordan, but I'm going to tell you what happened to Jordan. And then you can draw your own conclusions if you think Jordan be in his right mind. This, though, this is our, like, mystery, I guess you'd call it. Very, very strange. And I don't think this story has gotten, I'm sure in South Dakota, but outside of it, nothing, really. I don't know where I saw it first. I'm like, what the fuck? And then it went away. I don't know. Oh, this is from the Daily Beast. This is about the South Dakota Attorney General killed a man. Everything else is a mystery. You tell me what you guys think, YouTube people. And I'm going to tell you what here's the facts. On a remote section of a highway, in a sparsely populated part of South Dakota. All of South Dakota is sparsely populated. Just saying. And I've worked a lot there, too. One of my favorite places in America, Deadwood. If you love history, go to Deadwood. And there's a casino there. Sparsely populated South Dakota, the state's highest-ranking law enforcement official struck and killed a man while returning home, while returning from a Republican Party dinner one night last summer. So this is last summer. In the months since, Attorney General Jason Ravensborg, Ravensborg hasn't missed a day of work, and he's not faced any charges in connections with the death of Joe Bover. Probably not saying that right either. Many South Dakotans are growing restless, including Bover's family. Markers indicating a death went up to the crash site on Highway 14 in Hyde County last week, a grim reminder of the tragedy that has his cousin Nick Nemec in tears. I'm very disappointed, he told the Daily Beast. Next week will mark 5 months since the crash. I've prepared myself mentally for some sort of guilty plea to a minor traffic violation on the order of crossing the white line. That's what he thinks will happen, but that hasn't even happened. Just pleading guilty to that. The governor, Kristi Noem, like Ravensborg, a Republican elected in 2018, has also questioned why it's taken so long for the investigation to conclude. We continue to call it a great disservice to the victim's family, she said at a press conference. I'm disappointed that we haven't seen some action taken by the state's attorney involved, and certainly hope they will soon. Noem cannot remove or even suspend Ravensborg, according to the governor's communication director. Since the attorney general is a separately elected constitutional official, she has no such authority. Yeah, right. This is all true. The person who will decide if there's any charges will be filed is Emily Solville, the Sully County State Attorney and the Hyde County Deputy State Attorney. Solville is handing the case for her father, Hyde County State Attorney Melvin Voorhees, who's not involved in the investigation or the charging decision. No reason for that has been provided. That's weird. Her father, who was disbarred in 1980 for his role in cattle feedlot scheme, was reinstated to the bar in 1987. He served as state's attorney in both Sully and Hyde counties. Solville has not responded to request for comment left with both county attorney's offices and has not spoken a word on the case publicly, even as the questions remain. Okay, so we're going to go through. I'm going to tell you, I'm going to skip all this. This is just more fighting amongst those people about charges. In order for an operator to be criminally responsible for the death, if they are not under the influence, their actions must be reckless or intentional. Well, we don't know if he was under the influence because nobody gave him any test. The South Dakota legislature, I believe in 2010, rejected a negligent homicide law, thus leaving reckless or intentional actions as the only means of an operator to have criminal liability. This is what happened. Oh, fucking weird is this? The 911 call Ravensborg made after the crash was released a month later. He mentioned his title. The dispatcher says, "You hit something?" The caller, him, by Highmore, and it was in the middle of the road. The location remains under dispute. South Dakota Highway Patrol states that Ravensborg's car was actually on the north shoulder when he struck the man, Bover. The crash site is on the west side of town. A convenience store is nearby, as are a gas station and a machinery business, and a State Department of Transportation shop. All of lights are on that are on all night, so the fatal crash did not happen in the darkness of a prairie night. I've driven that highway in the middle of the night many times since Joe's death, the cousin told the Daily Beast. The area between two reflector posts is lit up from your headlights bright enough to see a mouse running across the road. The speed limit is 65 miles an hour, a few feet from where Ravensborg struck Bover, who was apparently walking back to town. He had driven his pickup off the road earlier in the evening, the cause will never be known, and struck a large round bale in the ditch. So he just went off the road and hit hay in a ditch. That guy, the guy who got hit, Bover, 55, had worked in nursing homes and a grocery store, and as a farmhand called his cousin and friend who lives nearby to come pick him up. So they left and planned to return in the morning to repair and retrieve the truck. A few hours later, for some reason, Bover decided to walk to his pickup carrying a light. As he returned just a minute or two before he would have turned off the Highway 14 to walk down Iowa Avenue, the main thoroughfare, he was struck and killed. And then they actually write, that's when things got weird. They're already weird. What is this guy doing? After the 911 call, Mike Volek, Hyde County Sheriff, who lives at a nearby rural address, responded. Ravensburg claimed he didn't know what he struck. What? How do you not know what you hit? But the dispatcher suggested it could have been a deer. Okay. If you don't know what you hit, you didn't see it. Why didn't you see it? I mean, that doesn't make any sense. The deer are common sights in the countryside, and vehicle on deer crashes are regular events. Right. But I know the difference between a deer and a person. Ravensburg, 44, said he used the flashlight app on his cell phone, which could not find the object he struck. What? His car was not drivable, with the passenger side, front, and the windshield extensively damaged. So the person must have crashed into the windshield. And you still don't know that's a person, not a deer. No. At the crash scene, tire marks clearly showed Ravensburg's car had moved sharply to the north and come to a stop about 100 feet or less from where his body, Bover's body, later identified by his cousins, was discovered. It's unclear how hard Volek, who had refused to speak to the media, looked for the deer or whatever he had struck. A tow truck was called, and the driver removed the 2001 Ford Taurus, which was Ravensburg's personal car. So somebody immediately calls a tow truck. Boom, his car is gone. Meanwhile, while all this activity was underway, Bover's body was on the side of the road on the north shoulder, inches from the westbound lane. It would lay there for 10 hours. Oh. What? Even if you don't have enough cops, you could call people and say, can you come help? Was he killed immediately? Could help have been summoned? Those are just two unanswered questions surrounding the case. Ravensburg, who had been in Redfield, a small town 70 miles away, said he had appeared at a GOP gathering. When he returning home to Pierre, the state capital, that's when he hit Bover. Ravensburg said he had not consumed any alcohol. The manager of Rooster's Bar and Grill. That sounds fun, right? Yeah. Come on, let's go have beers at Rooster's. In Redfield, where the event had been held, declined to answer this reporter in September when she was asked if Ravensburg had been served a drink, saying, I can't talk about it. It's an open investigation. That's for the case where no means yes. Yep. If you're saying, I won't talk about it. If it's yeah, if it's no, he didn't have any drinks, then it's no. No problem. He did not, the cop did not give Ravensburg a blood alcohol test. In fact, this is where you just go, what? In fact, he loaned the attorney general, whom he knew, his private car so he could drive home to Pierre. The cop loaned him his personal car and said, here, take my car and go home. Meanwhile, they called the pickup truck to get his car, Ravensburg car, take it to the tow lot. They still don't bother to go look for whatever he hit, which was a human. And they don't test him for DUI. Yeah.
Nope.
Wow. And then another truly bizarre twist unfolded. Wow. Early September 13th, Ravensburg was returning the sheriff's car. So now the guy's bringing the car back, accompanied by Tim Borman, his chief of staff and former Fulk County State's attorney, in another vehicle. So he's got a guy behind him so he can get back again. He's going to drop that cop's car off, then go home. Ravensburg said he spotted a body on the side of the road and alerted the sheriff. This is the next day. I discovered the body of Mr. Bover in the grass just off the highway, he said in a statement released September 14th. It was apparent he was dead, he added. At this point, around 15 hours after the accident, Ravensburg did have a blood test, which shows no signs of alcohol. Not 15 hours later. No. Come on.
No.
Come on. The crash was investigated by the South Dakota Highway Patrol, which is under Secretary of State Public Safety Craig Price's supervision with assistance from other law enforcement agencies. Price said evidence indicates Ravenbord was distracted, but he has not provided details. Was he on his phone? Was he adjusting his radio? Why did he not see Bover, who was dressed in dark clothing? So what? They all said it's light out there. I get it if it's dark, dark, but it wasn't dark, dark. Maybe somebody was drunk, but it wasn't dark, dark. The attorney general has a history of driving offenses, including 6 speeding tickets in South Dakota. I don't blame you there. There's nothing you're going to hit. Usually, not at night. I wouldn't be going that fast. Right. And 2 in Iowa. Another state I'd feel comfortable speeding in. Just, you know, there's a lot of flat, boring parts. He was also cited for a seatbelt violation, driving without a proper muffler, and exhaust system. And in all these cases, he pleaded guilty and paid small fines. And then they go on to about his history. I don't really care about all that. A minute earlier would have made the difference. So that's where it stands. I cannot believe you can hit somebody and kill them. Well, I mean, I guess I can believe it. And then you just say, can I have your car? I need to go home.
Psych.
All right, termites. That's all I got for you. We are going to talk about, go watch Wu-Tang. Don't forget about Wu-Tang, an American saga. Don't forget about the last episode of Lady in the Dale. If you haven't seen it at all, start again. And remember, now you got to rewatch. Now you can watch it knowing that that reporter who is so obsessed with the wrong problem or issue, and I wouldn't even call it a problem, it's an issue. And then he kept trying to say, you know, is he hiding his criminal history by turning into a woman? He's not hiding. He's having press conferences, for God's sakes. That's what I thought was ballsy about him. I'm like, wow, he's not even scared of getting caught. They're going to find out. And they did. Anyway, go watch that. And we will anxiously await Inventing Anna by Shonda Rhimes on Netflix. I may have to write an email and ask where it's at. It's like 2 years late. And now she's out. She's going to leapfrog you with her own channel if you're not careful. You better get that edited. Pop that up there. All right, termites. That's it for today. I hope everybody's warm. I hope your pipes are working. I hope your electricity is working. Don't forget about your Hidden Valley Ranch seasoning. Apparently putting it on popcorn's a thing. I never heard about it. That's how far behind I am because I really don't care about ranch as much as other people care about ranch. I would care more about salt than ranch. And don't get Cheez-Its hot and spicy. If you're a Cheez-It fan, stick with the original. That's enough. All right, you ready?